It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrich. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, as Kathleen Dunn bids farewell to the airwaves, WPR gets ready to welcome 1A to the lineup next week. We'll talk to host Joshua Johnson about the show and his goals for public radio.
First, President Donald Trump said that he would meet North Korean threats with, quote, fire and fury earlier this week. Today, he continued the stern warnings to North Korea.
If anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough. And we're backed by 100% by our military. We're backed by everybody. And we're backed by many other leaders. And I noticed that many senators and others today came out very much in favor of what I said. But if anything, that statement may not be tough enough.
There's been a back and forth from the president's team since those comments yesterday. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson seemed to dial down the risk of war, while advisor Sebastian Gorka said it was nonsensical for the Secretary of State to weigh in on military matters.
Which puts a serious question on the table. What would it take for the United States to attack North Korea? And if the U.S. were to attack first, would it still be considered an act of self-defense?
Terrence Roerig is a professor of national security affairs and director of the Asia-Pacific Studies Group at the Naval War College. His forthcoming book is called Japan, South Korea, and the United States Nuclear Umbrella. Terrence, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I think the question a lot of people have right now is, how likely is it that this hostility and this war of words could turn into some kind of actual war?
I think it's very unlikely. I think that you are seeing a lot of posturing on both sides. Certainly military options are on the table, and you expect your military to be planning for those things. But I think the United States understands that military actions are very risky, very dangerous. Seoul is a relatively short distance away from the border, and you would be taking a great deal of chance if you decide to strike North Korea militarily. Now, of course, there certainly would be lines that if North Korea crossed with a major military operation, that would be a different story. But I don't think we have reached that point at this stage.
You don't think the United States would take any kind of preemptive attack on North Korea if the threats escalated to a point where we thought a North Korean attack might be imminent?
Well, and I think that's an important way to phrase this. If a North Korean attack is imminent, now you are talking about a preemptive strike, and that certainly could be on the table. But I think one of the things that is important to remember about North Korea is that regime is not suicidal. They are not going to use a nuclear weapon or attack the United States and start a war. That will certainly mean that they will that will lead to the end of the regime. This is a lot of posturing on North Korea's part. They have done this before. Certainly the level is higher than it has been in the past. But North Korea does not want to start a war with the United States. And so I think that getting to the notion of a preemptive strike where it was imminent, I think we are a long way from that. Now, if you talk about a preventive strike, that's a different story, and that's a different issue, which is a very has a whole different set of conditions to it.
What kind of conditions would apply there? I mean, North Korea has been testing longer and longer range missiles, now apparently can make a nuclear warhead small enough to put on one of those missiles. What kind of military operation would it take to, I guess, thwart that now that it already exists? Is it too late to do something like that?
Well, see, and that's another part of the problem. Not only is it risky because of how North Korea might respond and the dangers that that would put Seoul under as well as the rest of South Korea, but the ability to get at North Korea's nuclear program is really a very difficult military operation at this point. They have a lot of their facilities dispersed. Many of them are hard targets buried within mountainsides. And so you would have a very difficult time. Plus, I don't know that we necessarily know where everything is. And so you would have a very difficult time taking out all of these facilities. Plus, North Korea, again, has many missile and artillery sites that would be able to hit Seoul in response with conventional weapons. So you are, again, looking at a very dangerous situation, and you might not, you likely would not be able to even achieve your goal at this particular point.
We're talking to Terrence Roerig from the Naval War College about the latest news on the tension, rising tension, more so even than usual, between the U.S. and North Korea. We've been talking about military options on the table so far, Terrence. What about the diplomatic front, the U.S. and its allies, South Korea and Japan, China, of course, in the mix? What kind of things are you looking for when it comes to diplomacy?
Well, that is what everyone says is the preferred goal, because no one wants war on the Korean Peninsula. Diplomacy, though, is going to be difficult, because I think one of the interesting elements of this is the new South Korean government has reached out in a number of ways to North Korea, offered a number of different possibilities for talks. I think the North Koreans are determined to achieve a nuclear capability and then will be willing to come back to the negotiating table. But I'm not convinced that diplomacy is going to do it. However, I think it is absolutely crucial that we continue to try and that we establish some form of dialogue and communication with the North Koreans, because I think that in the end, North Korea is probably going to get a nuclear capability. They are not going to use it. They feel they probably need it to deter the United States and South Korea. But in the end, it is crises that concern me, because that is when leaders are under pressure, timelines are tight, information is short, and that's when leaders can make mistakes. I think North Korea can be deterred under normal circumstances. It is these kinds of crises that concern me the most.
What do you make of what we're seeing from the Trump administration, the fire and fury comments from the president yesterday, now saying that's maybe not going far enough? Mixed messages, it seems. I think it's fair to say, from his team. What are you looking at there?
Well, I think it is part of the administration's posturing. I think it is certainly, in my own personal view, a concern that the administration doesn't seem to have a consistent policy on this. But nonetheless, I think the president himself believes that some degree of rhetoric like this probably gets the North Koreans' attention and stirs the pot to some degree. But it is, again, I think, largely posturing to get the North Koreans' attention, to demonstrate that the United States is willing to take this issue more seriously, and perhaps to put more pressure on North Korea. But I think ultimately they will decide that military options are bad ideas.
I want to ask you about the role of China. You've written about how North Korea might place nuclear weapons. I think one suggestion you put out there was that they might want to have it near the Chinese border so that any outside attack, any American attack, would maybe provoke China as well. Talk about the role of China in all this.
Sure. I think that is U.S. North Korea-China relations are very complicated. I had mentioned in a piece that I think one of the North Koreans' sort of interesting elements to this is that they may have put some of their nuclear facilities close to the Chinese border, which may make the United States hesitate and South Korea hesitate in taking some of those facilities out. But I think beyond that, the China-North Korean relationship is very complicated. I think that while they have a formal alliance and they certainly have a history that goes together, I think the North Koreans do not trust the Chinese, fear that the Chinese would throw them under the bus in a heartbeat if they chose to do so. I think the Chinese view the North Koreans as an insolent bunch who do not heed China's advice, particularly on nuclear and ballistic missile matters. And so their relationship is strained. But in the end, China has some strategic interests in maintaining the North Korean regime. They don't want to see the North Korean regime collapse and the instability that that would bring. And so while China, I think, is willing to bring some degree of pressure on the North Koreans, I think there are limits to that. There may be a tipping point at some time in the future, but I'm not sure where that tipping point is and if we are close to that.
We'll leave it there for now. Terrence, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Terrence Roerig, Professor of National Security Affairs and Director of the Asia-Pacific Studies Group at the Naval War College. His forthcoming book is called Japan, South Korea, and the United States Nuclear Umbrella. He joined us for a look at the latest on the United States and North Korea.